Drive Time 91.3. Always on the cutting edge. Voice of the Cape, Drive Time, 072-238-0712 is the WhatsApp number. And of course, you can query, comment, criticize, rant, or rave. The Chinese Association's legal case against 12 respondents accused of hate speech, harassment, and unfair discrimination resumed in the South Gauteng High Court today. The case concerns a series of objectionable comments made by these individuals, which were posted on Facebook, heard on Carte Blanche, and the Karoo Donkey Sanctuary in 2017. Online is human rights lawyer and activist Kayan Ling. Welcome to the show.
Assalamu alaikum to you and your listeners. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, walaikum salam. I'm quite curious to see that the Chinese community has been picked out for racial harassment, I suppose the only word we can use. Because, interestingly, historically, the links of the Chinese community to the South African one can be traced back to the Tanu Baru above town on the slopes of Signal Hill, where members of the Chinese community were buried there in the 17th century. That's how far back it goes.
Absolutely, Shabek. I mean, you know, many people, unfortunately, don't actually know the narrative of you know, Chinese South Africans, which historically, as you have mentioned, date back to over 300 years in South Africa.
Indeed. Now, what is the issue at hand here? Why, I suppose it's a difficult question, would these 12 people suddenly start this campaign of racial hatred against Chinese South Africans? I'm still trying to get my head around it.
So I think what you alluded to in your intro is, you know, it all started with a documentary aired by Carte Blanche in terms of, I think, trading of donkey skins. And apparently the people that are buying this, and it's been exported to China. And so the Donkey Crew Sanctuary also jumped on board, and it quickly, you know, what initially started out as an issue with you know, animal rights per se, then changed a narrative and changed direction to soon become a hurtful and harmful speech towards Chinese people as a whole, and also considering the Chinese context of Chinese South Africans, you know, that have been over 300 years in South Africa. You know, the language was not only inferior and humane and degrading, but with, you know, generalized negative stereotypes, but it was humiliating, degrading, and quite violent. And just to give you some of the examples of comments made, things like, you know, Chinese are the scum of the earth. They need to be wiped out. We don't want them in South Africa. Let's kill their children. You know, comments like that, and it escalated quite quickly. In fact, there were thousands of posts of this similar nature. So people then utilized the platform to engage on another issue, soon then became targeting of Chinese people as a general. And we've seen in the past and historically in South Africa, that is very dangerous, because once you have this common general stereotype and harmful tropes of certain and grouping people to be a certain way as a whole, you know, we accommodate room for violence and hateful speech, which has in the past, you know, lent itself to xenophobic attacks against our African brothers and sisters, because we're painting them with a certain brush.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly is a cause for concern. How has the case been going? The news we've got in the South Gauteng High Court today, what happened?
So, it's important to say that this is quite an interesting case, because I think the format or the platform in which this hate speech arose was on Facebook and social media, and we've had in the past, you know, constitutional court and equality court decisions on what constitutes hate speech. But because of the unique era that we live in, you know, with technology, I think it's important to canvas what issues there are and how, as a society, how we engage one another on social media. So in today's matter, where, you know, it was initially heard in March and we had to postpone and started, the case continued today, we had three witnesses that led evidence, and the judge has set down the matter, you know, to be heard and considered on merits for the next 2 weeks.
What could be the repercussions for the people, first of all, first question, who indulged in this campaign of very ugly racism?
So what's quite interesting is, I'd like to premise this by saying, we, as the TCA actually, did not decide to automatically head to the legal route first. Mm-hmm. So in the past, you know, where these types of comments, you know, were made, it was, and in this case as well, they first sought to firstly stop the space where it was allowing this hateful language and comments to continue. But they chose to also engage directly with the respondents to see and help them understand why their comments are hurtful, and not only hurtful, but extremely harmful. And many of the respondents have since then understood, you know, through a meaningful engagement, and actually changed their tune to say, I get why you were offended and why it's actually harmful me to continue this kind of language and discussion. And they've actually since come aboard and joined the TCA as sort of like an advocate for this matter. But there are a remainder number of respondents that have either refused to acknowledge that they've actually said this, so hiding behind, you know, the social media identity, or secondly, they fail to understand and appreciate why their speech is actually harmful. Instead, keeping on referring it back to it's an animal rights issue. And that's not the crux of the matter. It may have started on a topic of animal rights, but you know, it very soon escalated to a harmful generalization of all Chinese people in South Africa. And that's where the issue lies, to say, you're not looking at, you know, the role of Chinese people historically. It really falsely communicates Chinese people are naturally predisposed to harming animals and labels all Chinese people as dangerous or cruel. And the reality is, we cannot say people of a certain nationality or ethnic or racial group is predisposed to a certain way, and is conflating the isolated acts of cruelty of a few to an entire population group, to say we're all the same, we're all violent, we're all cruel, thereby reducing us to a set of negative and violent descriptors. And it's dehumanizing for all people.
No, absolutely. And of course, I think the frustrating thing about this, our final comment, is that I find Facebook, for instance, to be a very toxic space, best avoided, actually, because people always seem to be hiding behind some identity when they indulge in racism and hate speech against other people, which becomes so frustrating and so annoying, is that, and you obviously are coming across it, where people make these statements and then go into a state of denial once the damage has been done.
Absolutely. And we need to, I think, hopefully the judge will address these issues in the case of the unique way this case is manifested. But we really need to find productive ways of engaging with one another. And hiding behind social media cannot be allowed, because as you see, you know, on Twitter, Facebook, this kind of messaging can become viral within a matter of seconds.
Absolutely.
And we don't want to spread this sort of toxic, as you say, this toxic speech, toxic behavior and mindset throughout our country. We really need to take step forward and not backwards into regressing into a highly tensionalized and racialized country.
Yeah, too much polarization. Kaiyan Leng, human rights lawyer, chatting to us about the Chinese Association in the South Gauteng High Court. Absolutely horrible hate speech case, and let's hope it has a happy ending. Kaiyan Leng, thanks a lot. Enjoy the week, and everything of the best with the court case.
Thank you, and you too. Thank you.